We have seen throughout all of Acts chapter 7 how Stephen tried to warn his hearers. He tried to convince them to turn from their sins and to repent. But they didn't listen. They were not willing to admit their sin. And they were so opposed to admitting the truth that they lash out against Stephen and finally put him to death. That shouldn't surprise us. Jesus tells us that if the world hates him, it will also hate those who belong to him. So we hear at the end of chapter 7 how Stephen became the first of the martyrs, the first to give his very life for the sake of Jesus. Now, I know that it's not very likely that we also will be martyrs. In this part of the world, at least, being killed for Jesus is a very rare thing. But that doesn't mean that we won't face similar kinds of pressures and difficulties as Stephen did in facing the world. All of us will face the pressure to compromise. All of us will have to deal with a world opposed to God. And we will especially have to deal with the world's hostility when we stand up for the truth and the world doesn't want to hear it. So Stephen in his last hour is still an example for us. He shows us what it means to stand firm for Christ, even in the very worst of situations. So Luke tells us, beginning in verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him." Everything that Stephen has said has made the Jews angry and violent. "How dare he," they say. "How dare he say that we are not righteous? How dare he say that we are no different from our fathers? We are God's people. We have the temple, and we won't be convinced otherwise. Who is he to speak to us in this way?" And as I said before, it's possible that they had become so angry that they cut Stephen off, that they just didn't allow him to finish his speech. And they were angry because they refused to listen to the truth. They were angry because they refused to listen to God. And Christians, do we not see something similar happening in our own time? Just go out into the world, talk to somebody about God, and see how they respond. If they're not a Christian, what do you suppose they're going to do? They'll probably just tune you out, won't listen to you at all, or they might become angry with you that you're bringing religion into the conversation, trying to force your beliefs onto them, or at least so they say, trying to make them do something that they don't want to do. And at best, Christians, they're probably just going to walk away. But at worst, they might make your life difficult. But however they react, no matter what they do, their reaction is the same as Stephen's hearers. They refuse to listen to what God has to say. And they reject the one who claims to speak for him. So what do? What gives us the strength to endure in the face of such hostility? Well, Luke goes on to say, starting in verse 55, "But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" So Stephen now has a vision of what's going on in heaven. He sees God's glory, and he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And this gives him strength for two reasons. First of all, it gives him strength because it shows him that Jesus reigns as king forever and ever. at the right hand of the Father. The right hand is a position of power. To be at the right hand, especially to be at God's right hand, is a position of great glory. And Jesus is there at God's right hand because he has conquered. He has overcome sin and death and ascended into glory. One like us in every single way except sin now rules over all things. And knowing that, Christians, why should we be afraid of anything? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, at the very worst, the world will kill us. That's the worst that they could do. But even then, we will be with Jesus in glory. So let the world rage. Jesus is our conquering King forever. And the second reason it gives Stephen strength is because he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, normally when the Bible talks about Jesus at the right hand of God, it says that he is sitting. And sitting is a position of authority. A king sits, his subjects stand. And being seated at God's right hand shows that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's the reason why the Bible says he's seated there most of the time. But here, Stephen sees him standing. And that also says something about Jesus. On the one hand, he's standing because he is welcoming Stephen to himself. He sees that his martyr is about to die, and he stands to show that this is where Stephen will soon be. And so why would Stephen be afraid, knowing that God is watching over him, knowing that God will soon bring him to himself? And more than this, Christians, Jesus standing also shows that he is coming to judge. Psalm 3, for example, we hear this: "Arise, O Lord," like, "stand up, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked." So Jesus standing up in this way shows that he is going to judge evil, and to bring justice to those who are oppressed. He's not just sitting there doing nothing, but he's giving relief to those who trust in him. And Stephen can know that his death will not be in vain. Jesus will give him justice in the end. Luke goes on to say, starting in verse 57, "But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." So the Jews, hearing that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, makes them even more angry. I mean, they crucified Jesus, and now Stephen's going to say this, to say that he is up there in the position of authority? And that's why they rush at him, determined to kill him. There's two things that I think should be mentioned here, at least briefly. The first thing to note is that stoning, in particular, is a punishment for blasphemy. The Jews are convinced that Stephen has said something evil about God, and so they kill him. And they even think that they are doing what God wants them to do by killing him in this way, because this was the Old Testament punishment for blasphemy. And they thought they were also doing the right thing when they crucified Jesus. So Stephen suffers a similar death as his Lord, put to death in a brutal way by his own people. The second thing worth mentioning here in passing is that this is the first mention we hear in the book of Acts of the young man named Saul, who is, of course, Paul. Paul was present at Stephen's lynching. He probably even helped lead it. That's why they're laying his coats at his feet. He's probably the one that made it all happen. And Paul makes no secret of this in his letters. He readily confesses that he once persecuted the church. But as we will see later in the book of Acts, God will turn his heart and make him an important figure throughout the entire book. And Christians, if God can save this man, if God can change the heart of Paul, then there is no one beyond his grace. Luke closes this section starting in verse 59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So faced with his own brutal death at the hands of the Jews, Stephen does not waver. Instead, he calls out to God and keeps his eyes fixed on Jesus. And what Stephen is doing here teaches us two things, two final things. First of all, it teaches us that Stephen is like Jesus in his final hour. Because if we go back to the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus praying in the same way as he's dying on the cross. Luke chapter 22, we hear Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And again, Luke 22, Jesus calling out with a loud voice said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So Stephen is acting like Jesus, doing the same things, facing death in the same way. Not with a curse, not with anger, not with frustration, but with pity and compassion and trust in his heavenly Father. And Christians, when we are faced with our own trials, let us not be impatient or angry or frustrated, but let us approach them as our Master did, even praying that our persecutors will be forgiven. Because in that way, we will be sons of our Father, who is in heaven, who sends his blessings on all alike, both the wicked and the good. And secondly and lastly, Christians, Stephen praying shows us what it means to turn to Jesus. Because what better place do we have to go in the midst of our suffering than to come to the Lord in prayer? There, Christians, in prayer, we will find strength. In prayer, we will stand in God's presence. In prayer, God will comfort us. And in prayer, God will hear us and answer us according to his gracious will. So instead of fretting, let us pray. Instead of being angry, let us pray. Instead of being afraid, let us pray. Put everything into God's hands and let him deal with it, because he will always do what is right. And Stephen's vision of heaven should give us the very same strength, because we have the same promise as him. If God cared for Stephen in that hour, Christians, he will also care for you. So take it to the Lord in prayer. And he will never fail you, because he will never let the righteous fall. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who watched over your servant Stephen and received him into glory, give to us the same steadfastness to face our own afflictions, knowing that you will care for all who trust in you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.